Okay, we're going to carry where we left off last time. I spoke from Ephesians chapter 4 last time about the differences within the body of Christ, but the fact that we are united, we are one together, and yet we're not the same. God has given us different gifts, different abilities, and I tried to unpick that a bit and apply it to our lives. I want to continue to do that this morning, but using a different passage from 1 Corinthians, and look at some of the practice of spiritual gifts, particularly on a Sunday as we gather together for corporate worship, and we're exercising spiritual gifts, and we're encouraging what we call body ministry. I just want to look at some practicalities of that from the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you have Bibles with you this morning, if you can turn to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 12, first of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading a fair bit this morning, so do bear with me. I just want to give a bit of an overview, really. So we're going to be reading chapter 12, and then we're going to go into chapter 14 a little bit after that. Chapter 12, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Let's pray, shall we, before we read this. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth, Lord. And really, as we build our lives upon your truth, upon your word, Lord, we're going to succeed. We're going to fulfill all the things that you've called us to do. Lord, so help us to understand this morning what your word says. Help us not to be misled in any way, but to have a revelation, each one of us, from your Holy Spirit this morning as to the truth of your word. Give us discernment and wisdom. And Lord, help us to put your word into practice, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to fear as we speak in tongues that, oh, maybe I'm accidentally cursing the Lord. Actually, no, the gift of tongues given from the Lord is there to bless the Lord. And we're speaking words of blessing to him. You know, there are counterfeit gifts when someone has got a demonic problem, sometimes they will speak in tongues. But if we're asking God for good gifts, he's not going to give us something bad. So what Paul is encouraging is here, have a trust that when you receive the gift of tongues, when you ask for that from the Lord, that when you're speaking in tongues, you're actually blessing the Lord. And we know that if someone is cursing the Lord, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking. So if someone's blaspheming, you know, it's pretty obvious that's, you know, they're not being inspired by the Holy Spirit to do that. And then Paul goes on in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Linking this into what we said last time about the unity. Remember Paul said in Ephesians about the unity, and he had seven different ways that he described the unity that we have. There is one God, one God and Father of over us all. And he goes on about different aspects of our unity. And here he's saying we are united, but we're not all the same. So there's diversities of gifts. We're all different, but it's the same Spirit. So our differences shouldn't mean a disunity. We should be united, despite the fact that we're all different. I'm just looking across the room now and just looking at all the different hair styles and colours, and you know, the way that we've dressed is all different this morning. We don't look uniform, and yet this, despite that variety, there's a wonderful unity, because it's God who's drawing us together. And both things are so important. We want to get that unity in the Spirit, but we also want to express that diversity of the difference that God has put within each one of us. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles,
to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So just want to unpick that a little bit. So as we ask God to fill us with his Spirit, he fills us with his Spirit. But what Paul is saying is that will look differently for each one of us. There's different gifts that the Holy Spirit will bring into our lives. And he gives some illustration of some of those gifts. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. A word of wisdom. What is a word of wisdom? Well, it's having an understanding from the Lord of the right thing to do in a situation. It's knowing something supernaturally. It's suddenly having a thought placed in your mind by God. This is the way through. Do it this time. So, as an example in Scripture where David listened to what God said. God said, don't go straight ahead this time, go around the back. He gave him the strategy. He gave him the direction of what to do. When you think about Solomon, he was someone who had the spirit of wisdom, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to know what to do in different situations. Think about that baby that was brought before him, and two people said, it's my child, it's my child. Two mothers said that, and he said, okay, slice the baby in half and give half to each mother. And then the true mother said, no, give it to the other person, because she didn't want the child to die. And in that way, he used the spirit of wisdom to get to the truth. So God can give us wisdom by his Holy Spirit. And some people are really gifted in that they just listen to the Lord and they seem to have the way through for a situation. So that's the word of wisdom. Another would be the word of knowledge, it says here, through the same Spirit. What is a word of knowledge? Well, I think a word of knowledge is knowing something supernaturally that you couldn't have known any other way. So God might reveal to us that there's someone here this morning who's going through a situation. They haven't shared it with someone else, but you have a word of knowledge about that situation. Sometimes the Lord might reveal names, might reveal details. And it's important if we have a word of knowledge that we also have the word of wisdom as well, because you can have a word of knowledge for somebody and it can devastate their lives if you share it in the wrong way. So it's having that discernment from the Lord and that wisdom from the Lord. Okay, Lord, you've given me this knowledge about this person. How do you want me to share it? You know, you might have a word of knowledge, you know, you're in an adulterous relationship or something, and you might need to confront that person about it. But the way in which you do it, you know, needs to be done sensitively. So what we need, really, is not only that word of knowledge, but the spirit of wisdom. And I would also with that say, if you're operating in that gift, then if it's going to be something, you know, like a severe rebuke or something, check it with pastoral ministry first, you know. Because anything which is majorly directional, I think it's wise to check it out, really, rather than go blowing things apart. Words of knowledge can often be related to healing. Sometimes evangelists will be preaching the gospel and they'll say, the Lord is healing such and such at the minute. Sometimes people get heat on different parts of their body, and that's their way of hearing from the Lord that God is healing a certain part of the body in somebody that's in the room or something. So this is one of the areas, I think, as we start to press into the word of knowledge, we'll start to see more of the supernatural power of God, more healings and that sort of thing. When people have words of knowledge as well, the sense of God's presence is really seen, isn't it, really? Because people think, well, you couldn't have known that any other way. God must really be with you. So some have the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. What is the gift of faith? Well, I believe it's faith for all sorts of things that God wants to do. So faith, for instance, for provision. A gift of faith will believe
God. You know, some people seem to have that ability, don't they, to not ever worry about money, and they just think God will provide. I think you can't live your life like that, just going, oh, God will provide, you know, just so flippantly. And yet, that person may well have a gift of faith where they just they go into impossible situations, not knowing how God's going to do something, not knowing what the plans are going to be, but just trusting God anyway, and God comes up trumps. You could say an illustration would be the building here, really. But it could be any situation in our lives that we're facing, and God could give us a gift of faith for something specific. Often it can be connected again with healing. Some people have a gift of faith, sometimes for specific illnesses to be healed. They've got faith, maybe for, I don't know, blind eyes to be opened, or for ears to be unstopped, so people can hear again. They've got faith for certain things. So that is a gift of faith. And it doesn't need to be for a specific area, but it can be for specific areas. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And the word healings there is plural. So there's different types of healings. And some people may have a real ministry in a certain area, seeing certain things. They've got faith to see certain things being healed. But we can all pray to the Lord for healings, can't we? To be healed. And we can speak to situations. Just as was taught us by Jesus and by the apostles, they spoke to sicknesses. They spoke to the parts of the body that needed healing, and took authority and spoke in the name of Jesus. And faith comes with that as well. But there's some people who are characterized by that faith to see people being healed. And so some people really are. You'd say they're a healer, not in terms of a faith healer. There's a difference between what we call faith healers, which are those who don't use the Spirit of God. They use other means. I'm not talking about faith healing here. You get spiritualists doing faith healing. Don't have any part of that. It's not good. What I'm talking about is someone who has faith in Jesus to see many people healed, and they've got a real ministry there. Then there's other works, other gifts. Verse 10, the working of miracles. So what's the difference between a miracle and a healing? Well, I would suggest that something like Jesus turning water into wine was a miracle. No one was healed. The water was turned into wine. Jesus walking on water, it was a miracle. The feeding of the 5,000. Wouldn't it be great to see more miracles happening? You know, we see miracles now and again, don't we, really? We see amazing things, or hear about amazing things happening. But really, to see more miracles happening would be a wonderful thing. Raising people from the dead. I don't know if you'd have raising from the dead as a miracle, or maybe healing, maybe a bit of both. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is hearing from God and sharing with others what you've heard from God. So it may come as a feeling, it may come as audible words, it may come through reading the Bible and just have a sense that God is saying something. It may come in various different ways. But the important thing is to speak it out, to share it appropriately. And as we share, God gives us more. And we can all be prophetic. We can all hear God's voice in various ways. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He's the good shepherd. We're his sheep. We can all, as Christians, hear the voice of the Lord. But it's training ourselves and tuning ourselves into that. However, there are some people who are very gifted in that particular area. And you would say, well, that person has a gift of prophecy, or that they're a prophet. And as I said before, that could be male or female. You might say prophetess if they're female. Deborah would be an example of that in Scripture. And it's just wonderful to have a diversity of gifts. We need these different gifts within the body. To another, the discerning of spirits. What does that mean? Discerning of spirits is knowing what spirit is in operation in a person. For instance, someone might appear to be really good on the outside, and they might fool quite a few people, but someone with the gift of discernment won't be fooled by them, because they'll have a sense from the Lord that everything's not 100% here, and they can flag things up to the body of Christ, to the rest of the church. Be wary of that person. That person's got a few issues in their lives or something. Also, the gift of discernment of spirits is very useful for deliverance ministry. So where someone needs prayer, particularly prayer for deliverance, where they've got some demonic issues in their lives, they've got problems with addiction or other things where Satan really has got a bit of a stronghold going on in their lives, and you need some firm prayer or where someone actually takes authority over some demonic stuff, it can be very useful to have that gift of discernment in those situations where the Lord reveals a particular way that a demonic spirit is operational in a person's life. It's also quite useful for discerning between truth and error in terms of teaching and doctrine, because sometimes people can get into all sorts of errors where they're not just believing the plain truths of the Bible. As Dave said, to come back to the cross is so important to us all. We all need to come back to the cross, the simplicity of the cross, and not overcomplicate it, you know. Sometimes people can be into such complicated doctrine about things like the end times and, you know, they're trying to see everything that's going to happen and they think they've got it all planned out and everything. And yet they've forgotten the very simple truths of the gospel, you know. We should never get beyond those simple truths of the gospel. We should always hold on to them and never grow weary of them, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, sure, we do learn other things from Scripture, but we should never lose sight of the foundation of our faith. So the spirit of discernment is able to discern between truth and error, particularly with regard to things like Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, that sort of thing. Because, let's be honest, someone who believes things which are contrary to Scripture, they can be quite persuasive in trying to put their point of view across. But that spirit of discernment is able to cut through that and able to deal with it in the correct way. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So the gift of tongues is the ability to speak in a different language that we've not learnt. And the way I started speaking in tongues was just a few words, which gradually became more and more fluent. So as I was praying, just on my own in my room, I started to speak without thinking about what I was saying, and it started to come out as tongues. It wasn't weird or, you know, freaky. It was just, you know, I was just there. I was wanting to pray in a deep way and just thinking of a situation I wanted to pray for. And I wasn't thinking about the words to use. I was just thinking about the situation, and I just started to speak, and it came out as tongues. And as I exercised that gift, it became more and more fluent. And at times when I'm speaking in tongues, it'll come out as a slightly different tongue. So you might have the gift of tongues, and sometimes you might be speaking in one language that you've not learnt. Other times, the language may change. And Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And I imagine that he had many different tongues that he spoke in that he'd not learnt. Sometimes we know that when someone speaks in a tongue from the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's a physical language which people understand. I've been in two meetings where there's been a tongue that was given and someone literally understood what was said. Only three meetings that's happened, actually. Once it was Gaelic. Someone spoke in Gaelic, and there's someone in the room who understood Gaelic. And someone interpreted the tongue who didn't understand Gaelic. And the person who did understand Gaelic said, that was Gaelic, you didn't realise that was Gaelic. And the interpretation was spot on as well. So you think, wow, that's thank you, Lord. We're not mad after all. You really are doing something amazing. And then another situation, it was in an Alpha training day in Christchurch in Newport. There was a guy there who was Chinese, and someone prayed for him. Just, you know, we just had a time of praying for one another, and the person that was praying for him was saying, come Holy Spirit, in Mandarin, but didn't even realize. They were just speaking in tongues. And then another situation was is it Zulu? It was in Abergavenny. It was in a home group meeting, and someone was praying, and there was someone from South Africa who understood, and they said, "Yeah, you were speaking Zulu words there, a word for God." So it's quite incredible, really. So that can happen where physically it's understood. It happened in the Book of Acts. It was the first major sign, wasn't it, when the Holy Spirit came, and it made people think, "Wow, God is doing something here." So sometimes the gift of tongues can manifest in that way, but usually it's not understood in terms of a physical language that someone is there and they think, "Oh, that's French." Usually it's for the benefit of the person speaking, to build them up, to help them communicate with the Lord, and that's fine. And when we use it like that, it's to be used between us and the Lord. But when someone stands up and gives a tongue to a group of people and just speaks out to a group of people out loud, then it's important that it's interpreted, because if you don't interpret it, then what's the purpose? You might be there giving praise to God and it's all wonderful, but if no one understands what you're saying, everyone's going to say, "Well, you're mad," you know. And this is what Paul goes on to a little bit later on. So different uses for the gift of tongues. Generally, it's a gift given to build us up, to help us commune with the Lord. But it can be used in a way where someone speaks it out to a congregation. And we've had that quite a few times here. And when that happens, what we usually do, the person who's overseeing normally says, "Okay, let's just wait upon the Lord for an interpretation of that." And when they say that, really, it can be anyone in the congregation who might get an interpretation of the gist of what the Lord is saying through it. And if you get the gist of that interpretation, feel free to speak it out, because we all have the Spirit of God. Some people particularly have a gift of understanding what the Lord is saying in a tongue. So some people might excel in that gift. And so here we have, to another, the interpretation of tongues. So if someone regularly knows what a person is saying when they speak in tongues, I would say that person has that gift of the interpretation of tongues. So sometimes we could have a spiritual gift just given in the moment for a particular situation, but sometimes we can have gifts which characterize us as people. And you could have any gift just for the moment. You might have faith for a healing just at a particular moment, but it might not mean that you're characterized by healings normally. It might be that the faith environment that you're in. It might just be God chose you for a particular situation. But let's be honest, there's going to be certain things that characterize us, things that we have faith for. And that's how we're all different. We're not all going to have faith for the same things. So what I wanted to bring out next, I'll carry on reading and I'll bring out another point. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honour to that part which lacks it,
that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Notice there that he uses a different list of spiritual gifts, if you like. I think that Paul didn't want us just to think that there are nine spiritual gifts. You know, some people think there's just nine spiritual gifts, that's it. Well, I would challenge that view, because I see more spiritual gifts in Scripture than nine. For instance, the interpretation of dreams, I think, is a spiritual gift that Joseph had. It's not mentioned in this list anywhere, but it's a spiritual gift. In fact, the lady who led me to Christ had the gift of interpretation of dreams. I tried her out once. She said, well, tell me a dream. I told her a dream. I said, oh, yeah, try and interpret this. And she did, and it, like, hit me. I thought, wow. It blew me away. Like, she just, like, read my mail. It was like, ooh, I won't share any more with you. She just opened my life up. I thought, wow, that's incredible. Joseph had that amazing gift. I think Daniel as well, he had that gift as well, didn't he? He interpreted dreams. It's a spiritual gift, which is very real. And it doesn't just happen in the Old Testament, it happens today. But Paul was given an example of the differences. And here we have the gift of helps. What is the gift of helps? What would you say the gift of helps is? Helping. It's so simple, isn't it? I'd say that's a spiritual gift given from the Lord. He's you could say, oh, it's a ministry. Well, okay. Call it a ministry, call it a gift, call it whatever you will. The point that Paul is making is that we're all different. And it's of the Lord that we are all different. We can't all squeeze into the same mold. And if your gift is the gift of helps, don't negate it and say, oh, it's only the gift of helps. If you're not using that gift of helps, then you're going to be causing someone else in the body of Christ to be striving, trying to do everything. If you have gift of helps, put it into operation. It's from the Holy Spirit. He's blessed you with it. It's listed there amongst apostles and prophets. And so use whatever gift you've got in the Lord, use it to bless others and to bless him. Administrations. You wouldn't think of that as a spiritual gift, would you? Administrations. But it's listed alongside apostles. Great gift to have. I wish I had more gifting in administration. I don't particularly enjoy administration. I can do a bit of it, but I don't enjoy it. Some people love administration. I remember someone who, with the gift of administration, saying, I love paper. And I regularly say, I hate paper. And I've got piles and piles of paper. I just want to get rid of it all. I hate it. I want to put a match to it and burn it. You know. But someone with a gift of administration thinks, yes, I love spreadsheets. I love paper. So we are all different, and it's of God that we are all different. I want to bring out something that's very, very important. And it's this: we are to desire gifts, but we also ought to recognize that it is God who decides what gifts we get. And it's really important that we hold on to both aspects of that truth, or both truths, because they're both true. We're called here to desire spiritual gifts. So if you look down to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, it says here, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I've heard people teaching that we have all the gifts. You've already got it. There's someone on God TV who teaches that. You've already got it. I disagree. I disagree because it says something different here in Scripture. And I'm not afraid to disagree with something I see on, you know. It's great, God TV for many things, but it's not Scripture. People are using the Scripture, sometimes correctly, sometimes incorrectly, and when we watch something like God TV, we need to discern what we're listening to and do everything, weigh everything against Scripture.
There was a group, wasn't there, in the book of Acts, and everything they heard, they weighed against Scripture to see whether it was true or not. So we shouldn't just allow our ears to be tickled, think, oh, he's famous. That person, he's a famous evangelist. It's got to be right. No, we weigh against Scripture to see if it's correct. And the teaching that you've already got it, you've already got every spiritual gift. Well, I can see one aspect of that. One aspect would be that we could be in a situation and we might not normally have the gift of prophecy, but God could give us a prophetic word, yeah? I'm prepared to accept that that can happen. But the fact is, it says here that we are all different. And Paul is actually saying in a long series of things, do all do this, do all do that, do all do... And he gives a whole list of things. So let's have a look at the list. Verse 29, are all apostles? What's the answer? You shout it out. Are all prophets? What's this called where someone asks a question and it's got a no answer? There's a word for it. A rhetorical question. So he's using rhetoric here, a rhetorical question. And the answer to each one of these is no. Are all teachers? Shout it out. Come on. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Okay, this is the most controversial one. You might not want to shout out this, but go ahead if you feel free enough in the Holy Spirit to. Do all speak it with tongues? someone didn't want to shout out. You see, there's teaching that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you must have the gift of tongues. I disagree. I know that's controversial. I disagree because Scripture says here, do all speak with tongues. You might want to pick up stones and stone him this morning. I know it's amongst certain denominations, it's one of the standard teachings. But with church authority and church tradition, there's a greater authority than church tradition, and it's the Scriptures. So I'm going to, just because something is in a church tradition, doesn't matter what church tradition it is, doesn't matter if it's high church, low church, middle church, whatever church, check everything against the Scripture. If it agrees with the Scripture, embrace it. If it doesn't agree with the Scripture, don't embrace it. So I'm not going to go condemning anybody who's been filled with the Holy Spirit, which I see. Sometimes people are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is manifested in their lives. Maybe they have pictures, visions from the Lord, and they have a certain spiritual gift, and yet they don't speak in tongues. Ooh, they don't speak in tongues? They can't have been filled with... I think they can have been filled with the Holy Spirit because we're all different. But I think it's so important to not cause disunity. So although I believe that, I'm quite happy to work with people who believe the opposite, that you must have the gift of tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It won't stop me from working with them. I just don't agree with them because I see Scripture says something different. So don't just take my word for it just because I'm saying it. Weigh everything. Check everything against Scripture. And it's okay if you believe different to me. I'm not going to kick you out of the church. You know, we can still be friends, yeah? And we can disagree on certain bits of doctrine. There's going to be loads of things that we won't agree with. There's going to be loads of things that I believe that you think, well, I'm not sure about that. That's okay. Let's have that unity of the Spirit. But let's be people who have faith in the Word of God and weigh everything up against Scripture. What I would suggest is this. We need to avoid both extremes with the gift of tongues. There's those who would say, unless you have the gift of tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the one side. There's those who would say, anything to do with the gift of tongues, flaky. Yeah, that's another church tradition. Let's be honest. If you have certain strict evangelical traditions, anybody who speaks in a tongue is... Keep them at arm's length, you know, because they're a bit dodgy. They're flaky charismatics, you know. They're a bit flaky, and whether or not that denomination would believe in spiritual gifts or not, in practice there would be that's a bit weird. But it says here in Scripture, let's have a look at it, chapter 14, verse 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy,
and do not forbid to speak in tongues. So we shouldn't have a practice where we discourage tongues. We should have a practice where we encourage tongues. And I want to encourage as many of us as possible to speak in tongues. I really do. So if I'm praying for you to receive the Holy Spirit, I'll pray for you, if you want to receive the gift of tongues, to receive the gift of tongues. And I'll encourage you in that. When you're being prayed for to receive the gift of tongues, you have to speak. You have to do something. You can't just sit there, let God do it. You've got to actually speak words. And there are those, you see, on the one extreme, that they will say, I'll choose what gifts I'm going to have, thanks. Yeah, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So we've got that ability to ask God, Lord, I want this gift. But he's also got the ability to say no, because he's sovereign. He decides. So let's look back, shall we? Verse 11 of chapter 12, it says this. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. And here's the key verse. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. Some people don't want to read that line. They don't want to see that it's up to God to actually choose what gifts we're having. Because they think, oh no, we've got all the gifts. I must. But actually it's up to God. And what we'll find is we are all different. That's the proof of the pudding, is we're not all the same. God has already sort of made us all a bit different. And what Paul is trying to do here is, in a church that almost worshipped the gift of tongues, the Corinthians, they thought, yeah, this is great, the gift of tongues. They were immature. They didn't realize they were immature. They thought they were very mature by using this gift. And you'd get people standing up, preaching or speaking in tongues, and it not being interpreted. And Paul had to say, come on, guys, you know, grow up a bit here. Yeah, you've got the gift of tongues. Yeah, great, you've got the gift of tongues. Ooh. And he deliberately lists it last on that list, doesn't he? He goes, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, and then right at the end, he's got administrations, varieties of tongues, you know, almost like he's trying to say, come on, you know, it's maybe the first of the gifts. Often it's the case that the gift of tongues is one of the first gifts that people get, spiritual gifts-wise, because it's something which, for many people, they find faith to receive. But not everybody does. And this is the thing I want to say, is let's not condemn those who don't speak in tongues. But equally, let's not get into the opposite side where we get so big about the sovereignty of God that we start saying, as some very strict evangelical churches would say, that believe in the gifts, they would say, okay, yeah, in theory, I believe in spiritual gifts, and if God wants to give me a gift, let him do so. And they go walking about their lives, well, they're never going to ever receive any spiritual gifts that way, because God's not going to break through there and say, okay, I'm going to force you to have a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts come when we eagerly desire them, and when we exercise faith. We have to exercise faith to receive spiritual gifts. It's as we get out of the boat and step out in faith that we walk on the water. God's not going to like push us out of the boat, is he? And make us walk. I'm going to make you walk on water today, son, daughter. I'm going to make you walk on water. No, he's going to say, come on. If it's you, Lord, call me out of the boat. Come out. And we need to do the same. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts and expect that we're going to receive them. So although I'm saying that we're not all going to have all the spiritual gifts, what I am saying is we should expect. It sounds like I'm contradicting myself, doesn't it? When you ask for a spiritual gift, as Jesus said, ask for something, believe that you're going to receive it, and it'll be yours. That's why those who preach that everyone should speak in tongues, they see more people released into speaking in tongues than someone who believes, oh, it's just the sovereignty of God. If God wants to give you it, he will. The fact is, there's truth in both camps, isn't there? Because it says here, verse 11, the Holy Spirit distributes these things to each one individually as he wills. But it then says further on, in chapter 14, verse 1, desire spiritual gifts. So both things are true. We should desire spiritual gifts and say, Lord, I want this gift. But also accept that it's actually God that chooses whether we get it or not. Work. A few things I want to share. We're going to read chapter 14 now. Chapter 13 is all about love being more important, yeah? So exercise spiritual gifts, but in a context of love is what Paul is saying. Let's continue. Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men or to people. He who speaks in a tongue builds up or edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, the more other people are blessed, the greater the gift. So really, it's all about edification, building others up. If we use any gift to build others up, that gift becomes greater. But if that gift just blesses us, and we think, oh yeah, I'm blessed with this gift, it's not going to be as great a gift to the church as a whole, is it, if less people are built up? And that's why Paul is saying prophecy is preferred over tongues, because prophecy has a use that people can actually be blessed by it that don't have the gift. So if I prophesy something and someone gets blessed by that, that's going to be more use in the long term. He's not dissing the gift of tongues. He's saying, have the gift of tongues. And he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So I love the gift of tongues, he's saying. But he wants the Corinthians to be a prophetic people. And that's a challenge to us today. How prophetic are we as God's people? We need to be more prophetic and to be giving room to the prophetic in our meetings and in our lives. Let's have a look at verse 26 of chapter 14. How is it, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching. Again, these are other gifts and things or abilities that he didn't mention before, but now he's bringing them in. So you could say a psalm isn't a gift, is it? We know it's not a gift. But it may well be that as we're worshiping the Lord, that you have a psalm, a song to the Lord. Yeah. And that is a gift. That can well be a gift in terms of some people are gifted in singing in the Spirit, in terms of singing songs. He may be referring to reading of a psalm here, but he may well be referring to actually singing a song spontaneously. We don't know because we can't ask him that, can we? But what we do know is we have seen that in meetings, haven't we, where someone will sing out in the Spirit, either from the congregation or from the front. They're singing a psalm to the Lord, if you like. They're making a melody in their heart to the Lord and singing it out. That's a gift. It's a spiritual gift in that sense to be able to do that, because not everyone has got that ability, have they? Some people, if they started done that line, you'd be, where's the earplugs? Quick, you know. I'm not at all. You know, I've tried to do a bit of that. I'm not the best, but you know, I've done a little bit of it. But some people are really, really gifted at that, and they never, all their words rhyme and everything when they're singing. They're like, how do they do that? You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets would sometimes say, "Bring me like a lyre, not a lyre, someone who tells a lie, but bring me like a harp." And they would start to prophesy as music came. And what we're trying to create is an environment whereby we hear from the Lord and share our gifts. Body ministry, where everyone's got a part to play. So let's go back to here. Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching. Well, that could be that someone gets up from the congregation and shares a word, right? And they might refer to the scripture. Doesn't mean they're preaching. They're just sharing a short word of, you know, what they feel God is saying. I just want to bring something here that's important. We must keep our body ministry sharing short.
Because if someone comes up and they read, as I've done this morning, two whole passages of Scripture, okay, you might be blessed by it, but if it's in the middle of the worship, then it's what it's doing in effect is stopping others from sharing. And this is a real important point. Because we're a free church that encourages body ministry, we must respect that when we bring something, number one, it's got to be to the point of what God is doing. So if it's irrelevant to what God is doing in that situation, please don't bring it. So don't start bringing something in the middle of the worship that is completely irrelevant to what God is speaking at that particular time. What it will do is steer things right off for the congregation of what God really wants to achieve and to do amongst us. But let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So we think, well, actually, I've got this to share. Is this the right moment to share it? It might be it's not the right day to share it. It might be it's not the right format to share it. It may be that you've got a word from the Lord that he wants you to preach on a sermon on, you know, from the front, you know, but it needs more time. And you just need to wait for that opportunity or chat to somebody and say, listen, I feel the Lord has given me a word. It's this, you know. And we say, well, okay, you know, would you like to speak, you know, on a Sunday? Would you like to train to share the word or something? And that we can talk about that. I'm not saying we definitely will say yes, but it might be a possibility. But there's equally the short words where we share something as part of the worship, and it needs to be brief because otherwise people are, you know, it's bad enough as I'm boring you with long sermons up the front there now. But in the middle of worship, it can really cause angst. So yeah, but don't sit on something. If you've got something from the Lord, or if you just want to read a verse of Scripture, read it. But I would suggest if it's a whole long passage, it might not be the best context within the worship. Try and summarize it. Try and get the gist. Say to the Holy Spirit, well, okay, Lord, you've put this the longest psalm, Psalm 119 or something. Okay, you've just put that on my heart. What particular verse of that psalm are you highlighting, Lord? You know, and just read around those verses or something. There's ways and means, and we're to be sensitive to one another. But the fact is, point I'm trying to make is, we've all got something to share, and that's what he's saying here. Whenever you come together, each of you, let's all shout, each of you. I'm becoming like an evangelist up here, aren't I? Turn to your friend and say, no. Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation. What's a revelation? It's a sense in which God is revealing something, is showing you something which was previously hidden. So you might have a revelation of God's love, perhaps through Scripture, but you might see something for the first time you've never seen before, and it might really speak to you. And it might not just be for you; it might be for the whole congregation to bless the congregation. Has an interpretation. That's an interpretation of tongues. Let all things be done for edification. Here we go. Then verse 27. If anybody speaks in a tongue, let there be two. They're a spiritual, but he's limiting it to say, okay, two or maybe three max. It's not two. He uses that word in complete silence. Like he means silence as in, you know, just speak to himself and to God. So he's still speaking in tongues, but he's not doing it as a public declaration to everyone. So that's important that we understand that is the meaning of the word silent in this passage, because it's going to come up again and again. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But, here we are, if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Again there, what he means is this, let that person be submissive. In other words, someone stands up and gives, oh, I've got a revelation from the Lord, and they spend half an hour sharing. Well, by the half an hour, you're like sort of, oh, Lord, please, let this meeting end, you know. And Paul would say, let that person be silent. Doesn't mean that let's not let them share at all, we won't ever hear them ever again. He doesn't mean silent in that respect. He means submissive. He means give way to let other people have a go. Yeah? Other people, God is saying, encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What does that mean? Say, oh, the Holy Spirit has filled me. I've got a prophetic word for you this morning, and I can't just share. What he's saying is, you've got control. That's all that Paul is saying. You've got free will. Okay, God has inspired you by his Spirit to share, but keep it brief. I remember saying that to, I've said that before to people in the past, and they've got offended with me, and they've walked out the church, saying, oh, this and that, accusing me of terrible things, just because I said, can you just keep it brief? And the reason why I said that is because it says it here, it's in Scripture. We should have body ministry. People should be sharing, and you've all got something to share. No matter what age you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, we've all got a part to play. It's not just for the super spiritual leaders to be sharing, it's for the whole body of Christ. But keep it brief, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. Let one another share as well. Don't take too long and hog it. I've gone on for long enough, and there's loads more I could say, but I want to finish. Yeah, it is ironic, completely ironic. But we're not in the middle of the worship, so I think I can get away with it. I want to just finish by saying, if you do have something to share, we do have people overseeing in the meeting, and you don't have to check everything out. So, for instance, if we're mature, aren't we, in the Lord? You know, we know the Lord, and we're all adults here, I suppose. Surely we can get to the point as a congregation where we can think, is this something which I need to check out first before I share, or can I just share it? Here are some of the things you don't need to check out first. If you have a prophetic word that God is saying, my children, I just want to say to you this morning, I love you, and I'm just encouraging you. You don't need to check that out, do you? Because, you know, it's an encouraging word. And it's a short, brief word. Or if you have a picture, which is just an encouraging word, then just share it from where you are. You don't need to come and ask the person overseeing about that. But I would suggest that if you have a word which is directional, as in, I believe the Lord would say to you, the building which you've chosen is the wrong building. And you're to sell it. You're to sell it to another denomination, and you're to move out and live for 40 days in a wilderness environment. some of that is quite directional. You know, I'm just using that as a bit of a comedy thing, but you can get the gist. If it's something which is directional, that needs to be checked. Don't just go sharing that, because, well, you can do if you want to go ahead and just share that, but what you're risking is possibly being ridiculed. We won't ridicule you. We're not going to do that. But it could be a bit embarrassing, couldn't it, if you share something which is really directional, and it's maybe not from the Lord, then it's awkward, isn't it? You feel, I put my foot in it there, sort of thing. And I'm trying to save you that embarrassment, and also the person who's overseeing that they might need to bring a word of correction. Because if we're bringing a word like that, then it's got to be weighed up, hasn't it? And if it's something which is going to affect the whole body, then really, as leaders, we've got to weigh it up and say, well, actually, we don't think that was from the Lord, or we do think it was from the Lord. So I would suggest, if you've got a directional word of some description, share it with the leadership team, rather than just bringing it to the congregation on a Sunday morning. Two seconds, just let me find my place. Okay, yeah. I would say it's worth checking if you're unsure about what you've got. Is it from the Lord? Isn't it from the Lord? Chat to the person who's overseeing. They can bring in, we're here to encourage you. Sometimes we get it wrong. And I just want us to know that sometimes I'm going to get it wrong, sometimes you're going to get it wrong. And we need to forgive one another when we do get it wrong. Sometimes it's serious enough to actually need correction. You know, if someone's preaching heresy, sometimes that, well, not sometimes, but that will have to be corrected in some way or other. But if you're not sure, that's what we're here for, is to encourage you and to help check it out. Sometimes it might not be appropriate for the particular time. So have a think yourself, is this the right moment to share this? I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting where you've literally been, it seems like you've been around the throne of God, and then someone brings something which is completely unrelated, and it's and it feels like someone's just burst you, not the bubble, but, you know, just let all the air out of you, and you're sort of like, you know. So let's be discerning, and if you're not sure if it fits in, check first. But if it's just something which is just going to flow with what God has been doing, and it's not directional, just share it. And we just want to encourage that. I think I've shared enough this morning. Let's pray, shall we, guys? Time has gone on, but it's been good, hasn't it? Hopefully, bits of it, the bits you agreed with were good. Bits you didn't agree with weren't good, so good. Lord, we want to thank you for the diversity of gifts that you've placed within your body. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love each and every one of us. You have no favorites, and it's not something where the professionals are sharing and others don't get a look in. Lord, you've given us all something to share. Lord, I do pray amongst us as a congregation for a release of spiritual gifts, Lord. Lord, show us the gifts that you've already given to us. Lord, heighten them, Lord. Help us to develop them. Help us to press on in, Lord. Help us not to neglect the things that you give. And Lord, we do pray for that prophetic release for each one of us, Lord, that more and more we become a prophetic people. Lord, if there's areas where we're struggling to receive a particular gift, Lord, we pray for faith to be released for different gifts. Lord, help us to understand who we are in you. Help us not to try and be somebody else, but help us to all enjoy being the person that you've made us to be. And Lord, we pray for that diversity to really come forward, but that sense of unity as well. Help us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just aware that time has gone, so I'm gonna wrap up there, guys. I want to offer though, if